This coming Shabbos, we have a triple header. We're going to be reading Parshas Miketz. We're going to be reading a special laning for Rosh Chodesh. And then we are going to also have the Maftir for Shabbos Chanukah. But let's begin with Parshas Miketz. When these types of situations come up, very often Parshas Miketz gets lost in the shuffle. So, of course, we begin with Yosef HaTzadik coming out of jail. And we're told, Vayigalach, he shaved. Now, why was Yosef allowed to shave? Rashi explains that he did so in order to show respect for the Malchus, for the throne. The Chasam Sofer asks why this was enough of a reason, as the day that Yosef got out of the pit was indeed Rosh Hashanah, and the Avos supposedly kept the Torah, so how could the honor of a human king trump the honor of the king who is the Melech Malchei Amlachim, the honor of Hashem? So Simcha Zissel Brody Zatzal explains that this is part of the obligation of Hakaras Aton. It extends so far as to outweigh an Eino Mitzuva Viosa like Yosef. Yosef was not commanded to keep the mitzvos. He was an Eino Mitzuva Viosa. My dear friend Rav Daniel Feldman Shalita noted that even though the end of Yosef's troubles was not as yet experienced, Yosef still had the obligation of Hakaras HaTov, since he recognized the good even if he did not as yet fully experience the good. So Yosef goes ahead and he interprets the dreams, and he tells Paro what should be done as a result of the dreams, and Paro turns to the people and he says to the people, have you seen like this a man with the spirit of Hashem inside of him? And the late great Rabbi Bernard Weinberger, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, the Shemana Tov, noted that if Hashem gives you a dream and the interpretation, he obviously wants you to run with it. And he obviously wants you to run with it and have the advice followed as well. He added, that is Rabbi Weinberger, added that this was also a lesson of Chanukah, preparing in the good days for the tough ones ahead. Rabbi Pamzatzal added that the good days refers to the days that one is young, when he asks what good is an Amin or another Daf, and making sure that it's important and valuable. Chanukah too teaches us to appreciate a land filled with olive oil, for there will be times when the land will make that oil hard to find, as was the case in the time of the Chanukah story. We're told by Yaker Yosef Esachav Vehem Lo Hikiru, Yosef recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Now Rashi explains that when he left, he didn't have a beard, and now, when the brothers met him for the first time, he did. Now, could that be a complete answer? The growing of a beard really changes us that much? So Rav Avram Rivlin Shalita explained that Yosef thought that he was sold because of the Lashon Hara he had spoken against the brothers, and the attempted power grab over them and his father and Bilhah. But he had changed. And perhaps now he changed his understanding of his role as a result of his wisdom. And that's the intention of the phrase Chasim HaZakan, the beard growth, which is usually indicative of becoming wiser and older. Whichever way it was, the brothers couldn't really understand and see Yosef ki amilitz beino sam, because there was an interpreter listening between them. The Vilna Gaon explains it for the 10 times that Yosef heard the term Avdecha Avinu, 5 times uttered by the brothers, 5 times translated, he was punished by losing a year of his life for each time he heard the phrase. Sir Yitzchak Saratsky and Shalita noted that although the 5 additional repetitions of the interpreter were unavoidable, they were an ones, why then would Yosef be held responsible? Sir Saratsky answers that when one should normally be excused, here he was not, because Yosef could have silenced the interpreter, and he didn't silence the interpreter, and for that, he was held liable. The brothers go back up to Yaakov Avinu, and they tell Yaakov everything that was going on, and Yaakov Avinu declares, Yosef einenu, Shimon einenu, es Binyamin tikachu, Yosef is no longer here, Shimon's no longer here. If you take Binyamin, alai hayu kulana, then they're all going to be on me. The Vilna Gaon notes that the word Alai references Esav with the Ayin, Lavan with the Lamed, and Yosef with the Yod. And according to this idea, Yaakov was noted that the troubles of Shimon and Binyamin were not supposed to be his to have to suffer. So Rav Asher, Sir Shalita, Rav Asher Weiss, explained that this is a sign for future Galios that his children would endure. Asa refers to the decrees of death, as in the time of Haman. Lavan refers to the decrees against the Jews and the ones that led to forced conversions. It was more intellectual. Yosef refers to the extended exiles. In our generation, sadly, we experience all three, and we need to be aware of that as well. Towards the end of the parsha, of course, the brothers go back to Egypt, and they are on their way back to Eretz Yisrael, and they realize that this Tzavnas Paneach is playing a game. He's going to try to take us as slaves and our donkeys. Now, why are the brothers so focused on the taking of their donkeys? So in the light of the potential of becoming slaves to Yosef forever, the loss of the donkeys seems sort of minor. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman Shalita cites the late great Rav Mordechai Druck Zatzal, who noted that we find instances of donkeys in Chazal who reflected the honesty of their owners. Take an example from the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Chavdal and Amar Aleph for one, which we're going to get to very soon. The donkey of Binyamin moved despite possessing a stolen item on its back, and this should not have happened. So hence the brothers expressed surprise that the viceroy was able to create such a disturbance that their donkeys ran with a stolen goblet. That should be something that didn't make sense. Obviously, it's something that he overtook because he overtook the donkeys. We're told that when the inspectors came, Bagadol Hechel Bakaton Kilo, right? They checked with the oldest first and ended with the youngest, and they found in the stuff in Binyamin's sack. Now, there's a medrash, and I don't know where that medrash is, that notes that the oldest was Shimon and the youngest was Binyamin. So why do we start with Shimon and not Reuven? Reuven was really the oldest. Mori Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita quoted the Maril Diskin, who noted that the Egyptians accepted the brothers' Kal V'chomer argument that they could not have stolen if they returned the monies accidentally returned to them the first time. But at that point in time, two brothers weren't there in order to merit the Egyptian benefit of the doubt. Shimon was not on the trip, because after all he was in prison, and Binyamin, who had not come down. And so therefore it was the two of them, Shimon and Binyamin, whose bags needed to be checked. And the cup, as you well know, was in Binyamin's sack. Finally, in the Haftorah, we read the special Haftorah for Shabbos Chanukah, Yoshua Yalavush Begadim Tzoim. Yoshua was wearing the dirty clothes. Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter would regularly highlight to us that when children intermarry, it's a terrible stain on the legacy of the parent, especially as in the case of Yoshua Kohen Gadol, who could have stopped it, and he did not do so. And when that is the case, it's proper for the parents to wear the big day. It's improper for the parents to wear the big day kahuna and perform the avodah. Children reflect, and it's something that we need to be careful about. We are our children's legacy, and we are our parents' legacy, and we have a responsibility to do right and proper for the wonderful things that have been gifted to us by the previous generations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the opportunity to do right for many more generations. Ad bias goal tzedek ra'ala az egmor b'shir mizmor chanukas ha-mizbeach. We wait for that time. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu wish us all a opportunity and get us quickly to that day. And may we all experience a Shabbat Shalom to all.